Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're in the series Set Up, which is about getting set up for 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm believing with you for your best year ever. The Bible says the way of the righteous winds upwards. The way of the other guys. The thing is, you're righteous, not only in your own good works, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, Jesus saves us to give us a brand new way of living. He doesn't save us so he can save us again and again and again because we didn't change our way of living. I mean, you can get saved and then think, oh, he's just going to, by the grace of God, we have this very hyper-grace kind of thinking, well, I can live however I want and Jesus is going to save me. I mean, what's the point of him dying if it wasn't for my sins? So I might as well keep on sinning. And that crazy thinking is only going to end up in trouble. He actually gets you saved and born again so that you have another way of living, a new way of living. And that new way of living will cause you to do well in life. But the power to do that new way of living, we're going to talk about here this morning. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I wish it said it was a searchlight that showed me the whole distance that I'm going, but it's like just the next step. What's the next step? Just like Tracy, you know, what's the next step? Oh, a little connect group, and then it's going to go on and on, and you'll find the next step that God reveals. He wants you to stay in connection with him all the way. If I knew what the future held, I probably wouldn't have done the first thing he asked me. It's like challenging some of the path. And so that is why we need these two things, the word and prayer, for this year. I didn't realize that rhymed, even though it was kind of corny. But the word and prayer for this year. Where the musicians gone? We could have a song out of that. The word and prayer for this year. And so as we talk about this, that said that the word is a light to my path. It's true, it does show you your pathway, but it does a lot of other things as well. In 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may enjoy a successful journey, talking about a path. He's saying, I want you to have a successful journey or prosper in your journey in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. So he's saying, I want your circumstances to do well. I want you to have a healthy body. And all of that is going to be because your soul is prospering. Your soul is healthy. Your spirit is alive. Your spirit is strong. The two things that will make your spirit strong, there's maybe five that I can mention, but this morning, talking about two, is the word and prayer. Just a little uncomfortable moment here this morning in church. Between 1 and 10, give yourself a grade on your spiritual life. Okay, well, let's narrow it down on your Bible reading life. 1 to 10. Like if like reading the Bible for say 20 minutes, half an hour was a 10, and not reading at all was 0. Where are we in there? It's a good idea to do a little self-assessment. The Bible says we should judge ourselves so that the Lord doesn't have to. And it does. We should have the fear of God about these things, you know. And here is, okay, so in prayer, 1 to 10, like 10 might be an hour in a day, or 1, like 0 is, I don't pray. Where am I on that scale? Because that's the health of your soul. And that is saying that your circumstances are going to reflect the health of your soul, your spirit. So do I have a devotional life? And here today, I'm not wanting you to load up with an impossible thing. Like some people get inspired and in their inspiration, they project a lifestyle that's beyond where they're at right now so far that it lasts for 2 days. So you're better to start with a baby step, like if I don't pray at all, then maybe I give it 5 minutes in the morning. And I just reserve a time. But here's the beautiful thing about prayer and the Bible. The less you do it, the less appetite you have for it. And the more of a vacuum you have to be filled up with what the world has got. And we're getting entertained to death. So it's just killing our spiritual appetite for God. But if you read the Bible for 5 minutes, you might want to read it for another five because the hunger for the Word of God grows as you study it. You get a deeper appetite for prayer. If you get in there and you touch God, you think, oh, you're not looking at your watch for the time it's going to finish. You're looking, have I got enough time to stay here a little longer? This is too good. And so you learn to love the Lord. I know a lot of people say, I love the Lord. What's that mean? Do you? I know the Lord. Do we? I mean, I've heard people say, I got a relationship, not religion. Really? Do I know him? Do I come into his presence? God, Jesus. People can't tell me there's no God. I know him. And I know he knows me. I have an experience, not just a theory, a theology. And the knowing only comes in prayer. And in the Word, speaking to me when it comes alive. I mean, I can, if you're spiritually dull, you'll read the Word and it's just words on a page. It can even be boring. You go, I get nothing out of this. Stay in there with prayer and then suddenly it comes alive. It doesn't yield to the casual. It's not just diamonds lying on the ground. It's not just gold everywhere. You got to dig. And get in there. God isn't just discovered by the casual heart, like, oh yeah, when he wants to, he can show himself to me. Yeah. I'm here. I'm ready, you know, whatever. God wants a heart that wants him, that's hungry, that has an appetite. And that appetite increases, not decreases, as I eat and feed on Scripture. So after getting through the uncomfortable part of measuring ourselves, maybe we can think, okay, I'm going to actually get a little deeper as a believer this year. Because I know some believers who are imagining that if I go to church once a month, or at least I've got my religious bit kind of tidied up and sorted. Honestly, in a world where there's so much temptation drawing you away, like 11 or 12 hours of spiritual input in a year isn't going to keep you strong enough. Your strength comes from this Word helping you resist forces that are stronger than you are. And we are not strong enough for this life, and we are not equipped with enough spiritual power to be a believer in a world where the basic attitude and spirit everywhere is not going to be empathetic towards us. So 1 Kings 19 verse 6, strange little story about Elijah who had called fire down on Mount Carmel and brought an entire nation back to God. Pretty big effort for a revivalist to bring a nation back to God out of their backslidden state. But after a great victory, there is like an emotional vacuum in anybody. Ask any preacher on Monday. After you have seen a great move of God or seeing God and you've given out and you've done everything, there's this feeling of the need for compensation or the vacuum that I got to get something in there. But Elijah didn't. And then the next day, Jezebel, one woman, come on guys, one woman can do, you girls are powerful. She said, I'm going to get you and take your head off your shoulders. And he got lost his nerve. This hugely courageous prophet contesting an entire nation, lost his nerve. It can happen to the best of us, people. And maybe it's happened with you. Maybe you found the confidence level has dropped a lot. The courage is gone. This is your answer. It's in this word. But it says that he ran on this journey to meet with God, which is a smart thing to do. When you're under threat and under opposition, run to God, not from him. Don't blame him, cry out to him. That in verse 6, it says, after he'd gone to sleep, he was so depressed, he just went straight to sleep halfway on the journey. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. He ate and drank. He's still sleepy. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Maybe I'm like this angel here today. I'm no angel, believe me, but like that. And saying, hey, arise and eat, because the journey of 2024 is too great for you. Without this food, it's too great. The call of God on your life to fulfill it is too much without digesting the word of God and spending time gaining spiritual life and strength from heaven itself. There are too many discouragements to overcome. Being a pastor, being a leader, being a connect group leader, Tracy, being whatever it is you're called of God, there are going to be discouragements. It's the most favorite weapon of the devil. Just make you feel discouraged. You can look at Instagram and get discouraged. You can look at Twitter and get super discouraged. You can look at the 6 o'clock news and feel like, yeah, well, I just want to die. There are a lot of things to discourage you. But this word will always, always strengthen you on the inside. So you say, I can make it through this thing. I can get to the other side. I can get to the end of this road. There are disciplines to embrace. You think, I've tried it before and I'm just keep breaking it. But you'll find strength from the word, helping your spirit be strong enough to hold to a discipline. Wisdom, guidance, relationships, keeping relationships healthy. It can be so difficult in a world where people get offended over nothing, taking offense when none was intended. We're all walking around like this. Oh, I can't say that. Oh, no, I don't mean this. I don't mean that. We think the 11th commandment is to be nice. As believers, you know, like we have got to, yeah, sure, we'll have grace, wisdom, tact, and we'll understand that, but we can't be those people who are always just getting offended about everything. Great peace have they which love your word, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. It is like a shield over you, a helmet of hope on your head. So, if the journey's too great for us, we've got to have sustenance in our lives to accomplish all that we are meant to this year. Okay, the word, let's talk about this. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So God, the creator of heaven and earth, has put his mind in a book and it's in your hands. It is the word of God to give you light, to feed you. As light, remember the menorah in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, 7-branched candlestick. It had a knob, a bud, and a flower at each joint on each branch. Yes, you're at Bible college right now. On one side, there's 27 parts. On the other side, counting the stem as well, there's 39. Do you know what that adds up to? 66. It's made of one beaten work of gold. Not of many bits and pieces that are attached to one another. One piece of gold was beaten into that shape. When you put oil in it and you lit it, you got a lamp to my feet. The Bible, there's plenty of examples like that. We won't go through them all right now. The book of Isaiah that self-authenticate. This is the word of God. And it's given to you and I not to ignore, not to dismiss. I know we study it, but I'm a little askance of just being a student of the Bible, like studying scripture and studying God. I kind of find that a little arrogant. I think I should be reading it and letting it study me. I think I should be looking at God, not just to study God and the idea of, yes, I'm doing theology and the study of God, for goodness sake. I think it's rather like he's studying me. And his searchlight, the word of God, is searching me, looking all the way through my life, not me being arrogant enough, thinking, I'm just studying you, God, and figuring you out as if we could. He's trying to help you figure you out, figure how you walk out. So listen, this book harmonizes, even though it's written by 40 different authors. 40 different, not one, like all the other religious books, 40 different authors. Over 1,600 years, over three continents, in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and, thank you. And this whole book has been supernaturally curated together by the hand invisibly overseeing all of this work. And it's got thousands of comments that perfectly harmonize and agree with one another. No part of the Bible contradicts another. And you've got 3,500 prophecies that have already been fulfilled and 2,000 either being fulfilled or about to be. When you got 3,500 that have been fulfilled, you can be pretty sure that the other 2,000 are gonna happen, people. When you've got four times the number of prophecies saying Jesus Christ is coming back. We know he came once, right? Everybody knows that. And it was prophesied he was coming. For every one prophecy, he was coming once. There's four saying he's coming back again. You can be absolutely certain that Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth and he is going to start an entirely new age that you and I will be part of, who've decided to have Jesus in our lives. It's milk, it's bread, it's meat. You receive the word, you eat the word in five different ways. Hearing, which is what you're doing right now. Reading, which you did this morning before you came to church. Studying is such a lost art for the normal believer. I don't know why. I think we might think, let's just let the pastor do all the studying and we'll turn up and hear what he's saying. But actually, if you were to sit down with a Bible encyclopedia or a concordance or maybe a commentary, if you want me to advise one, Adam Clark's pretty good. JFB is pretty good. And then a Bible with marginal cross-referencing. And you sat there and you just studied something that's on your heart. You might get an idea today and you think, oh, I'd like to know more about that seven-branch golden candlestick. And do a little study on it. Have a look through it. And you'll get an appetite for learning, oh, there's an altar of worship at the other end. Oh, there's a table of showbread over here. What's that all about? And as you read it, it feeds your spirit. It's milk, bread, and meat for you. Coming into, and then memorizing, that's a really good way to memorize scripture, understand scripture, but the best way, the thumb, the grip on the word of God is meditation. So meditation is not emptying your mind. Christian meditation is filling your mind with the word of God, repeating it to yourself over and over and over like a cow chews its cud. Now, a cow chews its cud 30,000 times a day. So if you can just maybe be at work or your boss might say, what are you doing? He said, chewing. In your mind, if you're going, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You might see nothing for about 5 minutes, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God, it drops into your spirit and light explodes in your inner man. Faith comes with that. That faith rises in you and you say, I know God is going to supply all my need. I got no idea how. I just know he is. because you've got faith now. That faith is like a plug. It's like a lightning rod for the power of God to touch. And so suddenly there's provision coming into your life because that word created a faith that connects you with the power of God. That's a very simple equation of how God works with you. But if there's no faith in there, and we're always worried, oh, I don't know where I'm going to, how am I going to pay that mortgage? How am I going to, oh God, no power's coming. Why doesn't God help me? Why doesn't God? God, you got to help me soon. Oh God, you know what I need. Get faith on the inside of you, which comes from hearing and receiving His word in your spirit. And when you've got that and you speak, your words contain power to be creative in this life. Meditation in the Word of God will bring you the greatest blessing in your life in 2024. Psalm 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're solid, you're secure, and you're by constant nourishment. When you got the Word of God flowing into your spirit that brings forth fruit in its season, leaf shall not wither. We could spend all day talking about this scripture, but whatever he or she does, what say some things that it does, whatever. Because you have this power that you've digested into your spirit. Jesus is the Word of God, people. The Bible with legs is what Jesus was, walking in the earth. He became the Word. When you digest scripture, you digest Jesus. He is coming alive in you. He is coming alive in your spirit. And that's just by simply meditating on the scripture. You know, when we get sick, we lose our appetite. When your spirit is sick, it loses the appetite for the Word of God. Revival, when you start to read that word, it brings healing to whatever is sick down on the inside of our spirit, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a mindset, whether it's a perspective that we have, whether it's an old wound that just won't go away. This word has healing in it. And it heals everything. It's like a river that flows through all of us. The last scripture on this is Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's how we abide in Christ and He in us. Okay, the second part of this message is prayer. And I've got minus 40 seconds to actually preach about it. In our prayer life, if we were to put the 1 to 10 measurement, which we've already done, maybe we can get stirred again to think, I really want to get back into that. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is like having a bell in heaven and a long rope coming down to earth. And every time we pray, we go, dong. Well, I want to know, in heaven, are we getting a ding, 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 dong, every 3 months? Ding, 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 ding. Or every day, are we going, bong, 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 bong. We are crying out to God and ringing our bell in heaven, getting the attention of God, of heaven, and all the powers that are there. Prayer is our spiritual lungs. We talked about our spiritual belly eating the Word of God. Prayer is us breathing. You can't last long without breathing. And so Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 1, people ought always to pray and not lose heart. Sometimes losing heart, discouragement is the reason people stop praying. But praying through means I pray through all of those things that are trying to keep me silent, that are trying to stop me crying out to God. James 5:16 says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man like ours. He prayed and things happened. And yet he was the guy who lost his nerve. Yet he was the guy, even though he did great things, he also seem to stumble so badly. And all of us have those feelings. We go like, I'm not worthy really to come again before the Lord. I made a few mistakes. I bolted when I shouldn't have, you know. But you can come again. He understands you. He never is disillusioned with you because he's never had any illusions about you. He knows our frame. It's okay. You're okay. You're good. Make your way just a little way back. Take one step. You'll take 10 towards you. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. And maybe that is the most ultimate thing that prayer will do for you, besides building your spirit, strengthening you, praying in tongues, becoming a strong spiritual giant. Besides all that, maybe the greatest part about prayer is that you can walk with God. You get to know the Lord. You can sit with him and commune with the Holy Spirit. And get to understand that there is a God who aches for fellowship with you, just like your soul aches to actually be with him. I don't know if there's any of you here this morning who have ever prayed a prayer saying, Jesus, come into my life. But today, I would urge you with all my heart to begin this journey, to begin this journey towards God, towards walking with him, living in the power of his presence, and learn how to pray, learn how to read his word. That'll feed you at a level, a spiritual level, something that we've never encountered before, maybe. So I just wonder, in our meeting here this morning, if there's anybody who's never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never said, Lord, come into my world. I mean, you might have done that once, but you've drifted away. Who knows why? But I'm thinking right now, if you found yourself in that position where you think, I'm so away from God, I need to come back, I'd like you to come back this morning. So in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if you've never prayed a prayer saying, Jesus, come into my life, I'd like you also to raise your hand. There could be some of you who go to church, but you're not sure if you're going to heaven. I'd really like you to make sure today. Say, that's me. I want to make sure. I do go to church, but I'm not sure. So can I ask everybody to close your eyes right across this auditorium? And if that's you, friend, if you've never prayed that prayer, saying, Jesus, come into my life. In a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. There may be some of you who have been away from God. It's time to come back. I want you to come back today. And I want you to raise your hand when I ask. There could be those who just are not sure if you're going to heaven. Can you also raise your hand when I ask? So right now, right across this auditorium, whoever there is of you who's never asked Jesus in your life, you're coming back to God. You're making sure you're going to heaven. Right now, could you just raise your hand? Just put it up wherever you are and we'll acknowledge it. Thank you. Who else is there? Just raise your hand. Amen. Lord Jesus, I praise you. Who else is there? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Who else is there? Can you raise your hand as well? God in heaven, we pray for your spirit to bring people's hearts to you this morning. Yeah, thanks. I see your hand down there. God bless you. Thanks, young man. I see your hand. Who else is there? I'll wait just a couple seconds more. If there's anybody else, thanks, buddy. Yes, who else? Raise your hand. Say, that's me. I want Christ in my life. I'm waiting for you. Thanks. I see your hand. Who else is there? Anybody else at all this morning? You want to receive Jesus? It's time to meet the Lord. It's time to follow him. I'm going to wait just another couple seconds for anybody else. It can be a struggle. It can be a wrestle. If you've never done this before, right now is your moment. Right now is your time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, people, can I ask you all to stand? I want us all just to maybe reach our hands out towards God and pray this prayer. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, you've forgiven me, cleansed me, washed me, made me whole, made me your child. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Increase my hunger for the word of God. Increase my hunger for prayer. Help me follow you, Jesus, in 2024. You know, the Bible says in Zechariah 12:10, I will pour out the spirit of grace and prayer and supplication. Prayer is a spirit. It's not just a chant. It's not a ritual. It's prayer is something you do from your spirit. It's like working. It's like creating things in the spirit. It is taking a hold of God in heaven and wrestling. It is being in the grip of the Holy Spirit. It is more than just saying your prayers on your knees at night, although that's good. But I would like to think that prayer becomes a force in your life. When Chris and I were born again, we came into a church where there was a prayer meeting before the prayer meeting. And it was three elderly ladies. And I went to it one night and I asked them, what are you doing? They said, we've been doing this for 20 years, praying for this revival that's happening right now in this church. There were hundreds and hundreds of hippies getting born again. It was these three women praying every week, seeking God with all their heart. When we first started this church, an elderly woman came into the church and sat down the back. Her name was Sister Wonders. She had big glasses that were like Coca-Cola bottle ends. And I said, hi, what are you doing here? She was from New Zealand originally. She said, I'm here to be your grandmother. I said, what's that mean? She said, I'm here to pray for you. I'm going to be praying for you. And she did for years. And then another, I told the story and a couple of other elderly ladies came to me and said, we want to be your grandmother too. So ever since then, I've had grandmothers. Pop and Pearl were two incredible intercessors in this church for many years as well. Rita Chin and others over the years have been these powerful intercessors. People who seek God and pray and cause great blessing. You can be part of that army here today because prayer isn't just about my personal spiritual nourishment. It's about what I can do for other people through the power of prayer. Never underestimate the mighty power of prayer because it is as mighty as God Himself because He is committed to answer everybody who cries out to Him. If you want that spirit of prayer to come upon you, lift your hands to Him right now. Father, I pray your spirit would fall on every heart and every life here today. Let the spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession, the spirit of supplication that moves heaven and earth, that dismantles mountains, that causes demons to flee and the sick to be healed, that raises the dead, causes, Lord, the great blessing of heaven to fall upon your church. Lord, I pray that that spirit fall here today on every believer, every person who has their hands and heart raised to God, hungry for that outpouring. In the name of Jesus, let it fall. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a great clap offering. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.